A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 185. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion about The Deep. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a 2010 miniseries on the BBC. It had quite a big budget and a very big name cast. And it was set going deep under the ocean in a submarine. The submarine is the Orpheus, and it is caught in this complex game below the ice in the Arctic Ocean.
Okay, and as you say, big budget. We don't know exactly how much the BBC spent on it, but it certainly seems to have had a big budget, and they certainly pushed it hard, although as we'll talk about later, they perhaps didn't quite get the hit they were expecting. But anyway, last time we delved into the deep, and now we go even deeper with the Orpheus and the crew, who have had some sort of systems failure. We don't know exactly what's caused it at first, but as you hinted at in the last episode, Brian, there is something bigger and more dangerous down there with them. We know that they're in the International Maritime Exclusion Zone, so there's supposed to be no other ships, no other submarines down there. They have special permission from the United Nations to go down. But of course, there is a large, very large, in fact, submarine down there with them. It's a Russian submarine, which I believe is called the Volos, down there, as I say, breaking United Nations orders. And the Orpheus is taken on board. It's so big that it can actually take the Orpheus up inside its own sort of moon pool into its own docking bay. But once there, the crew of the Orpheus find that there's not many survivors left on board this Russian sub. They seem to have had some sort of terrible onboard accident, and the few survivors of the original crew, well, I could say they're all acting a bit strangely, Brian.
Yes, there are definitely some strange things happening there. There is also this political game that the crew of the Orpheus get caught up in with the Russians. And of course, they didn't know that this type of thing was happening. Meanwhile, Clem finds some wreckage from the Hermes, the previous expedition. And of course, this complicates things because his wife was on that expedition. And it seems like there are a number of agencies and agents who are investigating some of the work that has been done, that has been going on. So people on dry land are investigating some of the work that these various people have been working on under the ocean.
Yes, there was something about Clem's wife, Catherine, and her work that is suddenly of considerable interest to lots of people. She discovered something down there, or in fact, she was working on something before she went down there. And as you said in the last episode, Brian, it may have something to do with the looming energy crisis that the world of the deep is experiencing. And it becomes a question of who wants that information and who I suppose doesn't want it being released or being widely known.
That's right. You end up with this political game and sort of a spy game that involve the people far away on dry land and also the people who are up at the surface in the Arctic near where the Orpheus is, and down in the depths of the ocean. So it becomes quite large scale and quite involved.
Yep, things get colder and darker. And of course, there's has much, much, much more pressure when you're 2,000 feet below the surface of the ocean.
Yes, indeed.
So as we've sort of hinted as we've gone along, there are some interesting themes and parallels in the deep. The most obvious one is the mythological one. We have the ship called the Orpheus, and we know that the mythological character Orpheus traveled into the underworld to retrieve his dead wife. And here we have the tale of Clem, played by James Nesbitt, trying to find out what happened to his wife on board the submarine the Hermes, finding bits and pieces of the wreckage on board this Russian ship, the Volos. So, you know, there's an obvious parallel there. Plus, of course, the Hermes, I believe, again, that in mythologically speaking, Hermes was a messenger. And perhaps the message that Hermes was going to bring back to the world, well, perhaps it was too dangerous a secret to get out.
We also know about all these things and that these things are happening because of the Hermes. So there is sort of a messenger idea there as well. Things are also getting a little bit grim with the things that various people are doing far away and on the surface. And it all points back to what is happening on the Orpheus and on the Volos.
Okay, lots of tension, lots of pressure, lots of stuff going on deep down there in the ocean.
Absolutely. So this is from 2010. It's an interesting time for science fiction on television, starting around then and going up until now. And we've seen some interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've talked about previously that the 90s was a strange time for science fiction on British television. We get 2005, we get Doctor Who comes back and, of course, is this enormous international smash hit, you know, a huge profitable sort of thing for the BBC. And I think it signals, in a way, a sort of return to television science fiction, with the BBC and other channels being sort of more acceptable to try in new things. Not that it always works. And interestingly, when they perhaps try more what we might call harder science fiction, more sort of adult, serious science fiction, well, it doesn't seem to work, or perhaps not has the successful results that Doctor Who had. We have talked about a show on British Invaders before called Outcasts, which, you know, again, had a lot of high hopes, but never got a second season because it was shunted around the schedules and dropped, I think, to BBC Two and so on. So that didn't do so well.
That's too bad. It would have been lovely to see a second season of that.
Yeah, it was an interesting show, which I think we both sort of enjoyed when we watched it. But as you say, didn't seem to succeed. We've got the big cast and big budget for The Deep here. But again, despite all the advertising and the special events that the BBC put on, perhaps not the hit that they wanted. And there's another show from around about the same time called Paradox, which we will be getting to on British Invaders at some point. Again, another sort of more adult, serious, darker science fiction show, but again, one that didn't succeed and didn't get a second season.
That's right. Where, on the other hand, ITV's Primeval lasted about 5 seasons and did quite well. And it was more like a Monster of the Week and time travel adventure series. It did diverge from that and go into some more complex things as well. But in many ways, it was something of a lighter show and a younger show, and it was quite successful. Being Human on the BBC ran for about 5 seasons. It was very successful, and it was a darker and more adult show. But it was more in the supernatural type direction rather than the science fiction direction. It's a very interesting show, but it didn't go as much in the hard science fiction direction as Paradox or Outcasts did.
Interesting. And I suppose also in the same context, we've got Channel 4 show Misfits, Brian, which I know you've seen some of recently.
Yes, that was one that was also quite successful. It ran for about 5 years. It was really like a teenage drama that had a lot of superhero elements and science fiction elements mixed in with it. And it did that very well. It wasn't as clearly science fiction as something like The Deep or Outcasts, but definitely an interesting show.
Yeah. And as you say, interesting times for science fiction on the television, you know, struggling in a way perhaps to find its feet and to do something to match the huge success of Doctor Who.
Yes, absolutely. So let's take a look at some of our own thoughts about The Deep, the good and the bad, if you will. So, Eamon, what did you like about The Deep?
Well, I like the fact that I think the budget is all up there on screen. So we've got a terrific cast all round. The big names and the lesser known names alike, I think, are terrific. The CGI, I think it's, you know, absolutely splendid. And I couldn't really see the seams, as it were. I think it's some of the best CGI we've seen since perhaps we looked at Voyage to the Planets or Space Odyssey, as I believe it was known. Another show with some tremendous effects in it. So in terms of the look and the cast, I think very good. I don't know what you felt about those, Brian.
Yes, I definitely like the cast and the characters in this. The characters as they were written were generally quite good, and definitely the cast did very well with all of them. So they really brought something nice to this that I enjoyed a lot.
Okay, what about the writing and direction? What do you feel about those?
I thought it was pretty good for what it was, actually. They had some nice misdirection where it looked like it was going in the direction of being a sort of monster movie style thing where they discover some creature under the sea or something like that. But it doesn't. It goes into something that is much more political and has these sort of spy thriller aspects, which were interesting. So on the whole, I rather enjoyed that side of things. What did you think of that side of things, Eamon?
Well, I just wonder if it was slightly drawn out in places and whether it would have been better as a four-parter and not the 5 one-hour episodes. At times, I thought it dragged slightly and I was watching the clock. For the most part, you know, it barrels along with tremendous excitement. But, you know, every now and then I just wondered whether they could have squeezed it down to 4 parts and it might have been slightly more successful and perhaps not lost its audience along the way.
Well, that may be. I did think it had a very good sense of tension, which sometimes shows with this type of pacing do, and that was something I quite enjoyed.
Okay. The tension between the crews of the Orpheus and the Volos, because basically they're just trying to survive. Both, you know, both teams are trying to survive down there. And at times the sort of tension between the two crews seemed slightly forced, when it seemed to me that they should have been getting on and sort of trying to get themselves back to safety. But there you go. It was, you know, it's, I suppose, to be expected, particularly with the stakes of what they're after down there when we find out what it's all about. And I suppose natural tensions when the Russian submarine is clearly not supposed to be there.
Yes. One negative point about this would be that there is some stereotyping with the Russian characters. Svetlana, who is the Russian crew member on the Orpheus, is this sort of stoic character who's sort of stereotypically Russian. And when we're introduced to the crew of the Volos, they tend to be paranoid and have this dislike for Western countries and sort of ties into a lot of stereotypes, which was a little bit unfortunate, although some of the performances were good and it does sort of tie in and fit with the story.
Yes, you could almost say the same about the sort of American corporations up top on the surface, and some of these sort of shadowy figures that they're again slightly stereotypically portrayed, with just the crew of the Orpheus as our sort of our moral waypoint. But there you go. Interesting stuff.
Yes, I think the three more junior crew members on the Orpheus were a little bit generic as they were written. They didn't have that much in the way of personality, and it was fortunate that we had some pretty good actors playing them, and they could bring out more with them and do a little more with them. They did, in the end, all get something to do, but they were a little lacking in personality, so it was nice to have some decent actors bringing something to them.
Yeah, none of those characters wears a red shirt, but it's almost heading towards that sort of stereotype in there as well, I think.
Yes, there was a little bit of that. That's true.
Okay, anything else, sort of good points about this show that you'd like to bring up?
You know, on the whole, I thought it actually works pretty well. I enjoyed this series.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a tense and dramatic show. I think the music that goes with that works very well. You can listen to that when you get to the clips on the BBC website if you want to check out sort of the flavour of this show. And it looked very good, I think. It looked very good on television. I'm sure it looked fantastic in HD. But strangely, not a hit for the BBC, as far as we can tell, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And it has a reputation for not being all that good, which surprises me a bit because, while it certainly isn't flawless, I found it quite enjoyable. And I think it's, on the whole, pretty solid.
Okay, so I guess we're moving towards making our own recommendations about this show and perhaps ignoring what the other critics have said about The Deep. How are we going to go with this one for our listeners, Brian?
Well, I quite liked it. It was a good undersea adventure with some nice political and spy type stuff blended into it. And it was generally well put together. So it's a recommendation from me. Good stuff.
Okay. I'm going to slightly paraphrase Gordon from our Facebook group and say that The Deep is nonsense, but it's hugely enjoyable nonsense. I really had a great time watching it the second time around. And for £4 on Amazon, I would go quite along with you, Brian. I would recommend this one to our listeners. Please do check it out. If you didn't see it at the time, consider getting hold of it and letting us know what you think.
Amen. I don't think this is a classic or a must-see type of show, but it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I think that's about right, Brian, isn't it? It's fairly enjoyable for what it is. Not one of the greats of British science fiction television, but fun is to be had.
Yes, it's good stuff. So, in summary, The Deep was a 5-hour miniseries that brought us the crew of the Orpheus, who were on a mission of scientific discovery, but they were also on a mission to discover what had happened to the crew of the Hermes, and the Hermes itself, the Orpheus and the Hermes being large research submarines. They are exploring the depths of the Arctic Ocean, and in particular, they are looking at these hydrothermal vents on the floor of the Arctic Ocean. And we are led into a political game where a number of countries and organizations are interested in what might be discovered in the Arctic Ocean and what might have already been discovered by this time in the Arctic Ocean. And we learn about the Russian presence, and there is this Russian submarine, the Volos, that is secretly there. This, of course, only raises the stakes for what is going on in the Arctic Ocean and on the surface and in other parts of the world.
Okay, lots of interesting and dark and mysterious stuff deep below the sea.
Absolutely.
So, come and join us next time when it's time for our yearly Gerry Anderson show. And it's a strangely forgotten show in a way. It's called The Secret Service, 1969. Not seen by all that many on its original release, but has had a reasonably successful DVD life. Some interesting stuff to talk about when we get to that next time, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. It's an oddity from the late 1960s that is well worth a look. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there as well. We also have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there with some fun discussion with many of our listeners.
Yes, join us on Facebook for some fun and some conversation and some giveaways from time to time, some competitions. And also, we are on the Voice of Geeks streaming radio. That's at vognetwork.com, internet radio channel featuring many geek-related shows, of which British Invaders is one. We go out on Mondays and Tuesdays, and we welcome all our Vogue Network listeners.
Yes, absolutely. There are always lots of fun things happening in that community. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England saying dive, dive, dive.